Good afternoon. You're listening to A Trip with Penny Lane and excited for the Virginia Avenue Music Festival. I've been looking over the roster and there was one artist that just, I was listening and it resonated with me and sent him an email and was thrilled to be able to have on the show today. From Illinois, Edward David Anderson. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Penny Lane. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I very thankful to have you here. I listened to your music online and it just like, I was like, oh my gosh, your songs and your songwriting, it's just beautiful. I love
well,
your
thank
music.
Thank you so much.
You are
welcome. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You are from Illinois. Tell us a little
exactly.
bit about what part of Illinois?
Sure. Yeah. I grew up upstate around Chicago in the suburbs. I was born in Elmhurst, Illinois, and lived in a town called Lombard in the early years of my life, and then out a little bit further west of Chicago in a place called St. Charles, Illinois, and that's where I went to high school.
Uh-huh.
And I went to college in DeKalb, Illinois, for my undergrad, and then I came down here to Bloomington and did my master's degree, and promptly never used it.
What did you
got
study?
Got in a van, and have been playing music ever since.
Yeah, what did you study in college?
In DeKalb, I studied video and film,
uh-huh.
and then here in Bloomington Normal at Illinois State, I studied interpersonal communication, which is the study of human relationships, which I guess, you know, maybe I do kind of use on a daily basis and don't really think about it, but, in the music business dealing with randoms, but to tell you the truth, I'm so far removed from school, it's almost foreign to even think or talk about it. I enjoyed it, and
uh-huh.
it was fun.
Right.
But I've been doing music for so many years that my head's so out of academics. It is kind of fun to think about again.
But you were 2 decades on the road, right? That's what you told me.
Yeah, I'm a couple decades into road work here. Yeah, like I said, when I finished school in the mid-90s, I got into a van and haven't really gotten out. Granted, it's been several different vans. Most of them are long gone in the ground at this point. But, it's been a fun ride. I've been able to play music in, I guess, 46 different states in the U.S. Gosh, I remember days when my old band Backyard Tire Fire would go. We would go for 8 weeks at a time. You know, you'd literally be gone for 2 straight months and be playing almost every night. So you just kind of adapt and... learn how to do it, you know,
yeah.
and it starts to become kind of second nature, you know.
Backyard Tire Fire. How did you come up with that name?
That's such a stupid name. Everybody in that band at that time, and it's all different peoples and stuff, but I love The Simpsons,
uh-huh.
the television show. I'm not really honestly much for television in general.
Right.
I'd rather listen to baseball on the radio.
Uh-huh.
But I do love my Simpsons, and I still get a kick out of that show. And at that time, I was really, really deep into that. But there's a tire fire in the fictitious town of Springfield that has burned from episode 1, basically. So it's been burning for decades. And we were living at the time, when the band started, down in the hills of western North Carolina, where maybe it didn't feel like it would be so odd to witness a backyard tire fire. So originally were going to call it Springfield Tire Fire after the Simpsons Tire Fire, but we took Springfield and then swapped out backyard to give it sort of a rednecky kind of feel.
Uh-huh,
like
uh-huh.
And it stuck, and people thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And, I look back on it, it's funny because I was writing all these songs about stuff that was important to me and about, you know, love and loss and life and everything, and then releasing them under the band name Backyard Tire Fire, which is kind of ironic in and of itself. But, you know, once you pick a band name, you stick with it, especially if it does stick and people like it and it starts to spread. And it did. Gosh, that band, we really made a mark. We were around for about 10 years. And we're coming back to play the Black Dirt Music Festival that I was just telling you about. So But that was the band that I saw most of this country with, to tell you the truth. But yeah, it's kind of a random story about how we got that name. But once you get a name, you know, you're pretty much stuck with it.
How long have you been playing, like, guitar and singing?
I started playing guitar when I was about 16. My father showed me just basic chords and, you know, ironically, some of the stuff that he showed me how to play, like, was stuff that he was playing when he was young, like songs like La Bamba and O'Donna. He was a Ritchie Valens fan. And, you know, right around the time that I started learning how to play guitar, that movie La Bamba came out, and the band Los Lobos did all the music for that. I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved the movie. I loved the soundtrack. And one of the first songs that I learned was La Bamba. And then flash forward, you know, 20 years later, my band is opening for Los Lobos, and they're really nice guys, and they invite me on stage. Now I'm standing on stage playing, you know, we didn't play La Bamba, but I was playing with Los Lobos, one of my first kind of loves as far as rock and roll goes, and some of the first stuff that I learned how to play was stuff that they had kind of interpreted from Ritchie Valens and recorded for that movie. And the guy that, you know, produced that soundtrack for that movie is in Los Lobos, and he liked me, and he's produced two of my albums at this point. So it's kind of ironic, and just it's a small world. You know, I remember being 16, learning how to play those songs and watching that movie, and then 20 years later, I'm on stage with these guys, and the guy that produced it and won a Grammy for the soundtrack for La Bamba, and many other Grammys, has produced two of my albums. It was just crazy. You know, you never expect that kind of thing. And then when you meet people who you really respect and admire, you want them to be as cool as you think. And they were. They are. Those guys still play gigs with Los Lobos, and they're really, really good people. It's strange how that all worked out. So yeah, that was kind of a cool story.
Would that be Steve Berlin that you're speaking of?
Yep, Steve Berlin. He produced my record Lies and Wishes, and then he also produced the final Backyard Tire Fire release, which was called Good to Be. So I've got two with him, and hopefully maybe I get to do another one with him at some point. You know, There's a lot of songs left to be written and a lot of records left to be made here in my you know. I feel like I'm just getting started, so hopefully I get to work with Steve again at some point.
Yes, I got a quote from him where it says, EDA has always been one of my favorite songwriters and singers, and on Chasing Butterflies, he has beautifully managed to capture the exclusive dichotomy that is the American South, a combination of mystery, darkness, and relaxed geniality. I hope I'm saying that right. Great album.
Yeah, you got it.
Did I say it right? Oh, yeah. Good.
You got it. Yeah, no, so, Steve, he's such a good guy. He's an incredibly talented musician and great producer. But he's also somebody that if I needed to call for advice, I could. You know, he's just a good dude, man. Yeah, he's very approachable and a good person to have on your side for sure. I feel like if I need something, I can give him a call and he'll give me, you know, sound advice for sure.
Do you define your sound as black dirt music, songs about people and places, about life and love and loss? It's roots music cultivated in the fertile soil of the Midwest. I like that.
Yeah, I do think there's a Midwestern sound. I really do. You know, when I hear somebody like John Prine or... I mean, even like Mellencamp, you know, like there's a Midwestern kind of a sound or a feel that you get from when you hear, like when you go into Texas, I think that you can, when I'm in Texas, I almost expect to hear like a certain kind of songwriting and like, you know, prodigious guitar playing, or like when I'm in, you know, like the Western North Carolina hills, I feel like when I'm driving through the hills, I can almost hear that kind of banjo and old-time fiddle music.
Uh-huh.
When you're out in California, there's a certain kind of a jingly kind of pop, sunshiny kind of feel to, like, when you're in the Midwest, there's kind of a feel to the songs that are being written in this region as well, you know? So the idea of black dirt music is, I don't necessarily know that it's a genre or whatever. I think it's more like a state of mind. It's more like there are Midwestern kind of values of like honesty and simplicity and accessibility, relatability that are unique to the Midwest, I think, you know, just regular people, hardworking people trying to get through the winter, writing songs about life and love and loss and carrying on in this journey of life, you know. That's kind of the whole idea about Black Dirt music. It's not necessarily, I don't think you have to be from the Midwest to play it or to enjoy it. I think that it just needs to be honest and simple and from the heart. And I think that's what kind of defines what Black Dirt music is to me anyway.
Wonderful. And we're going to play Chasing Butterflies now for our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Sure, yeah. I wrote this song about my friend. He's an older guy. I had been playing music with him for a couple of winters down. My wife and I, when it gets cold in the Midwest, we go down to Gulf Shores, Alabama. And we stay down there, and I just play music along the Gulf Coast through the winter months, trying to avoid just bad roads and weather and touring in the winter in the Midwest for so long. So we were living down there. This is maybe our first or second winter. It's probably second winter. I was collecting stories from my friend. His name is Cowboy, and he's a singer. Sings really well, and he writes some songs. And a really, really unique dude who told me stories about, you know, he had been married 5 times and divorced. He was no longer allowed in the state of Texas. He had done time in prison. He, you know, had come from kind of an abusive situation where his father was a preacher who was very strict and abusive, and his mom was a teacher, and just all kinds of crazy stories about being on the road and running drugs and just, you know, like he lived it, you know. He's in his early 60s, chain smokes Camel filter cigarettes, and I basically just kind of saved up his stories. And one day my wife and I were out on a farm outside of town here shooting a music video, and she was trying to get this shot of a butterfly that was landing, but every time it would land, the wind would just take it on the prairie and it would be gone. And she would kind of chase it down the prairie and try to focus in on it. Every time she would focus in on the shot, the wind would take it away. And I remember saying, this is kind of ridiculous. We're out here in this field trying to chase butterflies. And I thought that sounded like an analogy to me for someone's life. So I went into the farmhouse and wrote this song about my friend, Cowboy Johnson, pretty much right then and there. And it became the title track to my new record. So, yeah, this is the story of Cowboy Johnson.
I love that. That's beautiful. Has he heard the song?
What's that?
Has Cowboy Johnson heard the song?
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny is the first time he heard that song, he was sitting right next to me on stage, and I played it in front of a room full of people. Because I figured if he didn't like it, he couldn't kill me. I actually pulled it out and unveiled it for him in a songwriter in the round thing.
Cool.
And he heard it, and I watched him figure out within the first minute or so that it was about him. And a smile came across his face, and I was like, okay, so he liked it.
That's awesome.
Why I feel comfortable telling the story and even saying his name, because he is a songwriter. I mean, you can find him on Facebook and stuff, and like, I'm okay with sharing the story because I know that he likes the song.
I was never one to follow, I was never one to fear. I keep good time to the beat of my own drum. I ain't allowed in Texas, I smoke cigarettes for breakfast. Feels like half my life's been on the run. I got knocked around, so I ran from town to town. I left home when I was just a kid. Everything I do and everything I've done goes right back to what my daddy did. Home is just a memory. I don't know where it ends or it begins. It's far, but still close to me. It's like chasing butterflies in the wind. chasing butterflies in the wind. Well, I hitched a lot of rides, had my share of brides, put each one of them right back on a shelf. You see, I've been known to yell, fuss and fight and raise some hell. Came to find I'm better by myself. So I picked an old guitar, started singing at the bar, meeting ladies, making tips to raising hell. Shooting guns, starting fights, running drugs into the night, till I wound up on the inside of a cell. I sit home, where I wanna be, I don't know where it ends or it begins. It's far, but still close to me. It's like chasing butterflies in the wind. Chasing butterflies in the wind. I quit drinking and shooting smack. I'm still known to roam from place to place. There's a restlessness, I guess. I'm uneasy, I confess. I slow down when they lay me in my grave. I said home is a mystery. I don't know where it ends or it begins. It's far, but still close to me. It's like chasing butterflies in the wind. I said home, I don't know where it ends or it begins. It's far, but still close to me. It's like chasing butterflies in the wind. Chasing butterflies in the wind. Chasing butterflies. In the wind. In the wind.